Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, brought to you by Joe in association with our friends at Guinness. And we have a very, very special bonus edition for you. My word, you got the golden ticket, didn't you? Going into, it's almost a bit like Muhammad Ali sitting down with Ali and Frazier, Senna and Prost, Borg and McEnroe. You had the chance to sit down with Umanga and O'Driscoll. Just before we talk about the detail itself, just tell us what you were feeling going into an interview with possibly one of the biggest rugby stories that there's been in the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, I was nervous. I was very nervous, actually. I did a fair amount of prep, but I'd done all this prep kind of knowing that I didn't know what way it was going to go, or I could kind of, I've prepared in case it goes that way, and if it gets intense and serious, then I got some like serious journalistic questions.
Very good.
But if it's kind of be a little bit more laid back and chatty, which obviously with Brian, it's more, it'll have more of a tendency to be like that. I've kind of got a little bit of banter, a few slags, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I had done a lot of prep, but I just didn't know how it was going to look, and I knew I had to kind of feel it out. But I must say it was brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it. Right in the deep end. That's my first interview, Alex.
That's a heck of a way to start. I'm not quite sure how you go up from there. I'd love to know, though, before the cameras started rolling and before you went go, what the body language was like between the two. Was it sort of circling lines, or was there a handshake, or was there a bear hug between
they
two were, old
I think they had spent a bit of time together already. I think they'd been in town for a couple of days, been out for drinks, out for food together. So I'd say,
but they've been out for dinner, had they?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
yeah,
that's good to hear that.
So I think maybe a lot of those tough conversations had already been had.
Yeah.
Now we got straight into it. No, well, sorry, we didn't.
Right.
Everybody would you'd be forgiven for thinking that you'd go straight into the obviously the reason why we're here is to talk about what happened in 2005, I got to that eventually.
Yeah. Fair to say, though, I think that you started with an even bigger topic. And let's lead you into the interview now.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
So, obviously, the world's most obvious question. Do you both subscribe to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby?
Oh, easy one. Baz and Andrew's.
Exactly.
It is the podcast in Northern Ireland and the South.
Both, yeah. The island of Ireland.
It's music, it's rugby, it's a multitude of things.
Okay, there's a little bit of bluffing going on there. There's going to be more bluffing over here, I would imagine. We wouldn't have a big footprint in Auckland.
Not yet, Andrew, but I'm going to start it.
You know, yeah,
it is. Next on, it's the first thing on my list once we stop chatting here. But
yeah,
I'm going to get right in behind it.
Will you sell it to us? How's it going?
Oh, a bit of this, bit of that. You know yourself.
Are you enjoying it?
I am, yeah.
Yeah?
I'm enjoying it.
Good.
Does it not look like it?
You're doing a great job selling it.
Yeah. It's, as you say, we haven't really touched on the music too much. Barry likes to kind of keep it to the rugby,
okay.
I suppose. He's away at the minute, so I'm carrying the can at the minute.
Is this the first one you've done on your own?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is, yeah.
And
how do you think it's going?
I think the editor has a dream because it's just let it run.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the mistakes out early, and then we'll get on with the quality. So we've established that you're not necessarily friends of the show, but are you friends with each other?
We're not foes of the show. And we're not foes of each other.
Uh-huh.
But this has been...
Brian, this is Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby. Tell us the truth.
Circle of trust. listen, this has... myself and Dan have met on multiple occasions over the course of the last 10 years. And it's, you know, we put to bed what happened in 05. Yes, it was something that both of us would love to change. But ultimately, that's been parked a long time ago. But for public consumption, this is probably a good thing to genuinely show that we're over it, and everyone else should be too. So it's hard because at different times with the Lions tour last year came back up again, you know, 12 years ago, and I get asked it in every Q&A that I've ever done. It's probably the most regularly asked question. So ultimately, there's no getting away from it. But from our perspective, we're cool.
Yeah, I mean, it only took 13 years, and then that's it. You draw a line under it and move on.
Well, that's the thing. It's 13 years, 147 days, and 12 hours. So, yeah, finally we got there.
Well, we finally got there. No, as we've always said, hindsight's a great thing. If we'd thought about it a lot earlier, we would have made sure we'd rang a lot of people when we connected. Every time we kind of bumped into each other, we probably needed a crowd. Just to make it a bit more public and prove to people that we had put it behind us.
But, or a very popular podcast.
Well, that's right.
Would have been the perfect medium to have done it.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Where were you 13 years ago?
Yeah. Could have started this a long time ago.
Yeah, well, that brings me on actually to my next point. Tana, I'm a massive fan of yours, probably more so than a lot of Irish people because of what happened in 2005. But I'm a big fan of yours because of what happened in 2005.
There's always that one.
Yeah. I'm the guy.
Is that the guy takes the opportunity?
Yeah. Reason being, whilst your mom is recovering, I made my debut in the 13 jersey against Australia. So, every Clyde.
Yeah, that's right. And we're all in the same room. Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
Yeah. So thanks for the opportunity.
How did you go that day?
I fine.
Yeah, only fine.
Fine.
It got better.
It got better. Yeah, it got better. I got swiftly moved positionally
to the ding-a-ling.
Yeah, to the ding-a-ling. Yeah, I had to wait till Six Nations the following year to take my opportunity. I was asked a lot of questions about you after my debut, mm-hmm. and I had never met you.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the chance to meet you outside of Vicar Street. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
What comedy gig?
Comedy? No. Jordy Murphy's girlfriend at the time. What's her name?
Oh, Lucy Silvas.
Yes.
Yeah, great
still,
gig.
Still a fan.
Great gig.
Yeah.
Great gig. Yeah. One of the all-time memorable gigs.
Yeah. So, Tana, Brian and myself actually didn't always see eye to eye. We had a couple of fallouts early on.
Yeah, I can't understand that.
Yeah.
Listen, did you love every opposition 13 that came into the environment and wanted...
No.
The jumper off your back, so
really well known.
Yeah,
they exactly. They were lower profile fallouts, to be fair.
They weren't
Lions Test. They weren't O'Driscoll Umanga. They were Trimby and Drake.
But they were big in our own worlds.
I felt like it was quite big.
Yeah,
and we came back from the dead.
Yeah,
to become quite good friends.
Tight enough.
And it didn't take 13 years either.
No.
Yeah.
But that's proximity, obviously. You get to see each other every day and, it's...
Excuses.
Yeah, if you lived in Dublin, you'd have been best mates.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, weeks later. Yeah. So anyway, on with the rugby. So what's the story? How do we see it? From your point of view, Tana, is... Obviously, it's world number one versus world number two. Are Ireland, despite being world number two, are they on New Zealand radar? Back in the day when we used to tour New Zealand, it was the Kiwis didn't know anybody apart from Brian and Polly and 13 other Muppets running around and 13 teammates. But has that changed?
Oh, it has. I don't think, don't sell yourself short. Everyone knew you back home. I think very much so in terms of, the Irish side and what they've achieved, it hasn't gone unnoticed back home. This tour at the moment is important to our very expectant public to see how we're going to go leading into the World Cup, because there's a few questions been asked back home around some of the All Black performances and whether we have the depth to go forward. So, the best way to dispel some of that from an All Blacks perspective, obviously, is to do well against number two team in the world at this stage. And it's, there's not a great gulf, I believe, between the two nations at the moment. Both teams have confidence. The All Blacks, like I said, they probably haven't performed to their best that they're looking for. So a couple of new players in there trying to push their cases forward for the future.
That's always the conversation, isn't it? In around June time, November time, is that gap narrowing? And it seems like if ever there was a time, certainly from an Irish point of view, it seems like there's never been a better opportunity to close that gap.
Oh, I think so. And, you know, the confidence that the Irish are playing with at the moment, you know, you can't discount them. You know, you can't go against them. And obviously at home, Pac Stadium, we know how tough that is. You know, and so, you know, it'll be a great watch. You know, that's why everyone's, you know, talking about it.
Yeah. Is that, how much of that is the Joe factor, Brian? Like, is it, Ireland's one thing, but Ireland with Joe is another thing. And what does life potentially look like without Joe in the future?
Well, we won't know that, will we, until he decides to move on, be it this time, you know, the end of the month, which is decision time, whether he's going to stay on for another cycle or not. And I really don't know. I really don't know. I met him a few weeks ago and he certainly wasn't giving anything away. I think
He met you for an autograph, didn't he?
He did.
He did.
Yeah, he did. That's all. That's the only reason he actually wants to talk to me anymore, is because he's told some dinner lady somewhere that he'll no problem getting an autograph signed.
You thought he was going to ask you for advice?
Yeah, it was like, listen, I want you to come in and coach the backs, because I've run out of ideas. But yeah. Now it's kind of a nice bit of chit chat at the start.
Yeah.
And then it's the inevitable. Uh-huh. It's like, wait for it. I was like, when you're saying goodbye, it's like, maybe it was just a chat. And then, like, because you don't see him walk in with any program or anything. So he hides it somewhere and then he whips it out. And it's like, oh, mate, you wouldn't sign that. And I was like, of course, no problem. And I've already got, I bring a Sharpie with me because I know that I'm going to be doing it. So, he wasn't giving anything away then. But the feeling here is, and we've talked a lot, you know, today, and understanding the New Zealand psyche as well, the expectation in New Zealand is to win. You don't, you know, it's not like, oh, we hope to win the World Cup. It's like you win the World Cup, and you win the Rugby Championship every year, and one of the super teams should win Super Rugby. Whereas with Joe, when you go into that environment, there's not that much backslapping. There's a lot of downside, and not, you know, there's a good upside, but there's not the same upside that there is here. You know, he wins a World Cup, gets to a World Cup semi-final, maybe even gets to a World Cup, a final or a semi-final. He's still hailed a hero because he's the first coach to have ever done it.
He's Sergio at that stage, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is. And he's revered in this country as well from what he's done with Leinster, and now subsequently, you know, with Ireland, two championships and a Grand Slam. He's brought two Champions Cups to Leinster. So, like, he can do no wrong, and yet the team continually gets better. He's beaten the All Blacks for the first time ever. So why would you leave that? You were there?
I was there, yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
You had a serious defensive game that day. Sorry, you were good in attack too, but particularly good in defense.
All right, fine.
Just take the compliment. Why see the downside to that?
Everything's a slag.
That's nice to have been part of that.
Yeah, certainly was.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you in Chicago, by any chance?
I was there, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was on a jolly.
On a jolly.
Yeah, yeah. It was the first game that I'd been to as a fan. Yeah. I'd been to some Ireland games in a working capacity, but the first one that I'd gone to. So we kind of just built a lads' weekend around that. So it was class.
It was a great week, wasn't it?
It was a class week because the Cubs won the World Series as well for the first time in like 60 years or something. So we saw the parade and everything that went with that. And then the win, which I think we'd been hoping for a big performance in the Aviva 2 weeks later. So to get it then was a real added bonus.
The 2 weeks later, whenever we played them back in Dublin, it was then, obviously, there was a lot of history about Chicago and everything moving forward. And just we were
it was only 2 weeks' history. It wasn't a lot of history. Only 2 weeks.
There was 111 years of history and 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah.
And then we came back and there was something about the way the All Blacks were getting on. There was an intensity. There was, they were raging. We were properly underneath their skin. And it was that moment I kind of thought, Ireland are really on New Zealand's radar, and this is something we've never experienced before. We've got them angry, and I remember Israel Dagg going mental, like screaming in our faces when they scored. Victor took Zeebo's head off at one stage. I was going, these boys are up for it, and in a way, what a compliment. Mm. The All Blacks actually we register on the radar. We're competing with the All Blacks. We got beat. It was business as usual. but still, we were going, wow, is that something that's felt in New Zealand?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, we've talked about respect a lot. And, you know, again, we always say we respect our opposition. Yet when you defeat the All Blacks, that does get under your skin, because you realise everything back home's got under your skin as well, because obviously you're losing as an All Black's not a great thing. And it's the expectation is that you win all the time, and they're just at you, the public, you know, and media, and things get in behind you, and it's like it's the end of the world. And and so they realise, oh, we've got to get our stuff together to you know, make sure that, you know, we can right some wrongs and all this kind of stuff. Yet you don't want to be feeling like that, you know, and you know, there's a history thing behind it as well. So it does make you focus a lot more, you know. It's great that you're saying it becomes really intense, because it becomes intense at training. You know, everything lifts another notch from day one. You know, demanding of each other, you know, that's a big thing within, you know, the All Black camp is, are you doing everything you can to make sure you're ready for it? Because you can't be left wanting. You know, you can't go down and go to the movies, or are you focused?
Mm.
You know, that's what that does. That's what losing does, and even more so to an All Black. That's the extent of it, because you realise what's going to come at us if this happens again, and you don't want that. So, like you say, it does raise the intensity levels, you know, throughout the whole week, and the expectation on us on the players themselves about letting that down. It's you know, it's probably a great motivator, but sometimes it does kind of hinder you sometimes.
Yeah, there's the All Black brand, I suppose, is, you know, respect, humility, hardworking, all this kind of stuff. Obviously, a lot of talent, all that kind of stuff, and then you just build on that, and you just add this competitiveness. And they've been obviously had that with Bledisloe Cup, Australia in the past, England in the past, like the traditional competitors, but now we've got it with Ireland, and just having that level of intensity is just so nice to almost share that with the All Blacks.
We're glad we can share it.
It's
a great thing we're sharing.
Thanks for having us.
we're here for the long haul, by the way.
Well, that's right.
Keep us in a job.
But also, I think it just raises, you know, that awareness of what it takes. You know, I think with everything, with what the players are delivering now, and obviously with the coaching staff, as we've talked about, you know, that intensity from an outside, and what I can sense and what I've heard about Joe, what he brings to training, you know, talking to some of the players, you know, you don't want to stuff it up, because
it's unpleasant. Time. Do you remember one of my first encounters?
I'm glad you brought it up. I was just about to. Oh God, yeah. I don't know, because I don't know if you and Joe would have hit it off
not
brilliantly
right
at the start. Yeah.
But
a bit of this, boom.
Best friends by the end.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, certainly on my part, anyway.
Okay. I don't know if he talked as glowingly about the relationship.
That's fair enough.
But yeah, it was. I remember that five-person drill and, you know, the sequence pass. Do you not remember that one?
Oh,
and
I'm actually thinking of another one.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, but I remember seeing panic of not really understanding, because he's not brilliant. He'll explain something once, you get it immediately.
Yeah.
And, like, new lads coming into drills are like, Oh, sorry, what was that? And then, so you have a second to actually get what the drill is and to work it out. But I think my recollection of you was it took you longer than a second. Trims is quite sharp, but not on this particular drill.
But not sharp enough.
No. And you're berated with the twice. And it's seeing the flummoxed look is quite entertaining.
Which then I went on to see in a lot of other young fellas through and thought, well, I've been there, and look where I am now.
What was your mind that you remember?
We were debating, which obviously is a bad way to start, with Joe.
Oh, yeah.
What my line should be. Do you remember this one?
Yeah. No, any level of debating, unless you are locked and loaded.
Yeah, and I wasn't.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I said, well, what about this? And he said, no. And then stupidly I said, well, could it not, whatever it was. And he said, well, I disagree completely. And it was conversation over. And then I went, okay, right, well, he hates me. Okay, Kidney hated me. Now Joe hates me, right? So, right. And then after the session, you said to me, obviously, you know him well, and you said, see, that conversation you're having with Joe there, don't do that. You know what's good for you? Don't ever do that. And I never did it again.
Like, you're welcome. That sounds like it's a major negative, but because the great thing is he doesn't reserve it for new players or for particular individuals. It's for everyone. Where if you want to challenge something, you really have to know, because he's such a clear philosophy as to how he wants things done, and, mm-hmm. and he's been proven right so often that it's hard to argue that. So if you do come with a challenge of some sort, it would want to be a very, very good one.
Absolutely.
Or something that kind of has caught him in some way. It's like that, he's that teacher in school that asks a question and, you know, the pupil gives an answer and it's not really close to what he was thinking, and he's not the teacher who goes, yeah, I really like that one, really like it, but anyone else? He goes, no, I'm on to somebody else.
No, it's
like
very
bang
clear.
It's cut and dry.
There's no gray area.
I think that's everybody else is clear. Every other player in the room knows, don't ask that question or don't give that stupid answer. Mm. And if you're going to come with something, you best have researched it, because he'll have researched it. But anyway, fellas, we've run out of time.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think it's gone well.
I think it's gone
very well.
Brilliant. I think you've put Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on the map in Auckland and Northern Ireland. Thanks a lot.
Excellent.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.